going by, I wanted to read you this testimony that we got at the church. And let me open this up. All right. She writes, "A couple months ago, I had bought a Christian Honk If You Love Jesus bumper sticker, but never put it on my car. Then last Sunday, I went to Spirit Life Church for the first time. I was feeling particularly touched by the thrilling praise and worship and followed by the amazing words spoken by the preacher. So when I got home, I found the sticker and put it on my bumper. Boy, am I glad I did. What an uplifting experience that followed. I was stopped at a red light at a busy intersection. Just lost in thought about the Lord and how good He is. And I didn't notice that the light had changed. It is a good thing someone else loved Jesus, because if He hadn't honked, I would have never noticed. I found that lots of people love Jesus. Why? While I was sitting there, the guy behind started honking like crazy. And then he leaned out his window and screamed, 'For the love of God, go, 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 Jesus Christ, go!' What an exuberant cheerleader he was for Jesus. Everyone started honking. I just leaned out the window and started waving and smiling at all those loving people. I even honked my horn a few times to share the love. There must have been a man from Florida back there because I heard him yelling something about sunny beaches. I saw another guy waving in a funny way with only with his hand up in the air. I asked my teenage grandson, who was sitting in the back seat, what it meant. He said it was probably a Hawaiian good luck sign or something. Well, I never met anyone from Hawaii, so I leaned out the window and gave him a good luck sign back. My grandson burst out laughing. Why, even he was enjoying this religious experience. A couple of people were so caught up in joy of the moment that they got out of their cars and started walking toward me. I bet they wanted to pray or ask me what church I attended, but this is when I noticed the light had changed. So I waved to all the sisters and brothers, grinning, and drove through the intersection. I noticed I was the only car that got through the intersection before the light had changed again, and I felt kind of sad that I had to leave them after all the love that we had shared. So I slowed down the car, and I leaned out the window and gave them all the Hawaiian good luck sign back one last time as I drove away. Praise the Lord for such wonderful folks." So, hallelujah. We can learn some things there. I just kind of put it in a funny kind of instance, but glory to God. Let's pay attention when we're driving. That wasn't real testimony, by the way, guys. That was just a joke, and I put Spirit Life Church in there, just to be clear. So, hallelujah. But yes, if we have our Spirit Life bumper sticker on, let's just make sure we are not doing funny things like that and paying attention while we drive. So hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So hallelujah. Tonight I have a sermon about nothing. It's actually a study on the word nothing. So, but it is everything. So hallelujah, I have 5 points about the word nothing that I studied out, and it's really good. So hallelujah, we're going to pray before we get started. Amen. Father God, thank you, Lord, for tonight, that the anointing is on me. Lord, that you use these lips of clay with excellency, accuracy, and boldness in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak through these lips so that your word will go unhindered from any outside force. Father, we fully expect signs and wonders and miracles to confirm the word preached. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So number one, nothing is greater than God. Hallelujah. Nothing is greater than God. Let's turn to 1 John 4:4. And I have the New King James Version for this one. 1 John 4:4. Nothing is greater than God. "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Can I hear a shout of praise? Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah 45:5. We're going to be doing a lot of scriptures, so just get the Bibles out, get them flipping open, and we're going to read the word tonight. It's good. Isaiah 45:5. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. There is no God beside me. I will gird and arm you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the east and the rising of the sun, and from the west and the setting of the sun, and that there is no God beside me. I am the Lord, and no one else is He. Hallelujah. That was the Amplified. Glory to God. There's no one else like our God. Amen. No one else. So hallelujah, no matter what you are facing tonight, no matter what you are facing in life, no matter what you are facing at your job, God is greater. Amen. Glory to God. He is all we need. He is greater than any situation that's going on in our life, and He can't wait to show Himself off. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what those scriptures were talking about. He just can't wait to show Himself off. Amen. So there is nothing greater than our God. Amen. Number two, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Luke 1:30. And we have the angel talking to Mary. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Last week on Wednesday, we talked about favor and the blessing. Amen. So do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And for his kingdom there will be no end. Glory to God. Verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and empower, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and there is now, and this is now the sixth month of her who is called barren." Verse 37, can we read it together? "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Hallelujah. Glory to God. I like how the Amplified says it. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Hallelujah. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 19:26. Amen. We're studying the word nothing tonight. Nothing, but it's our everything. Hallelujah. Matthew 19:26. I don't know if I said that right the first time or not. Matthew 19:26. I'm also doing this in the Amplified. But Jesus looked at them and said, And Jesus looked at them and said, "With men, this is impossible, but all things are possible with God." All things are possible with God. Can you look to your neighbor and say, "All things are possible with God"? Can you look to somebody else and say, "All things are possible with God"? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to Jeremiah 32:27. There's a whole bunch of scriptures on this. This is only three of them. Amen. All things are possible. Jeremiah 32:27. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Is there anything too hard for me? And I can just hear God kind of chuckling. I mean, he made us all. He made the world. He made the heavens. He made the stars. He made the planets. Is there anything too hard for me? And we can answer that and say, "No, Lord. Nothing is too hard for you." Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. He can change their situation within an hour, within minutes, within days. Let's go over to 2 Kings 7. We're going to talk about some guys that had nothing left to live for. Nothing left to live for. They had nothing left to live for. 2 Kings 7:3. Sometimes we think we have it hard. And then we're going to read about these guys and how God changed it all around. Amen. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. Leprosy. Eating away of your flesh. Eating away of the members of your body. It's pretty bad. It's a hard time. It's a pretty bad place to be. But they said to one another, "Why sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we shall die also." That's a pretty bad spot. The city was surrounded by the Syrians. They had encamped around the city. So on the inside, there was no food or water or anything else getting inside that city. People were dying. They were starving. It's a really horrible time. On the outside, there was these four leprous men right outside that gate. And then there was a Syrian army. So they're kind of found in a hard spot, right? This is a pretty bad situation. But they got to a place where... where they had nothing else to live for. Hey, if we go inside the city, we're going to starve. If we go to the Syrians, they could kill us. This is what they said here. "Now, therefore, come and let us go forth, the host of the Syrians. If they shall save us, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." Verse 5. "But they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the outermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried hence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it." They had a little bit of sense to them. They went and hid some. "And came again and entered into another tent and carried hence also and went and hid it. And then they said to one another, We do not do well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household." Let's go in the city and tell them of this good thing. That's what they're saying. "So they came and called unto the porter of the city. And they told them, saying, 'We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of a man, but horses tied, and donkeys tied, and tents as they were.' And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night, and they said unto his servants, 'I will show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore they have gone out of the camp, and they hid themselves.'" So he's thinking this is some kind of trap. So he's kind of thinking this. Verse 13, "And one of his servants answered and said, 'Let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city, and behold, that they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. And behold, I say that even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed, let us send and see.'" So they're trying to figure this out. "They took therefore 2 chariots of horses, and the king sent after the host of Syrians and saying, 'Go and see.' And they went after them in the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king, and all the people went out, and spoiled the tents of the Syrians, so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And if you were to read this whole story, there was a prophecy that went out that was, you could say at this moment, impossible. But within a day, it changed, just like the Lord said. So hallelujah. They had nothing else to live for. They were in a really bad spot. Really, really bad spot. And God changed it within hours. Hallelujah. So if you feel like your situation is impossible, guess what? We know the God that can change that impossibility. Hallelujah. With God, all things are possible. He will make a way. He will turn it around. He will get us through. Amen. He is the healer. Hallelujah. He is more than enough. Glory to God. All right, number three. Nothing is out of your control. Huh, that's interesting. Nothing is out of your control. Okay, let's talk about that. Because it sounds a little bit strange sometimes to people that have only been taught God's in control. God's in control. Guess what? We have been given authority. Amen. And we can use our authority and use our voice. We're supposed to be talking to the mountains and telling them to move into the sea. We were showed by Jesus himself that we can speak to the storm so it can be calm. Hallelujah. So let's go into Genesis 1. Let's talk about authority. Nothing is out of our control because we know the God that changes everything, that can change our situation in an instant. Amen? We can use our authority. We can speak to things. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth." He has given us dominion. We are supposed to take dominion. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews 2:8. Hallelujah. We're going to prove this out in the Word. Because God has given us authority. Glory to God. Hebrews 2:8. "For you have put everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything into subjection to man, he left nothing." There's our word again. He left nothing outside of man's control. "But at present we do not yet see all things subjected to him," to man. Because we don't know our authority. That's what that means. If you don't know your authority, then you're not going to know when you need to subject that authority. But we have the word. Hallelujah. We know when we can pray over things. We can speak to things. We can change things. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. Hebrews 2:8. "For you have put everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to man, he left nothing outside," this is the Amplified Version, "of man's control." Hallelujah. "But at present, we do not yet see all things subjected to him." We do in our lives, amen, because we know our authority and we work our authority. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke 10:19. We know the perfect will of God. Some people are waiting, "Oh, if that's God's will." Hallelujah. We know the will of God. We know we're supposed to be healed. We know we're supposed to be living a good life. Hallelujah. Overflowing, abundant life in all areas. In our relationships, in our family, in our jobs. Hallelujah. Luke 10:19, "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability." I love that there. Because sometimes, yes, we need physical strength. And sometimes we need some mental strength. Strength and ability. "Over all the power of the enemy, possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven. Hallelujah. We do rejoice in that. And we also rejoice that if we need to take care of some evil spirits, we can, because he has given us authority. Glory to God. Hallelujah. David knew his authority. He was in a hard spot too. David had nothing, there's our word again, nothing to fight Goliath. David had nothing to fight Goliath, but he knew his covenant, and he used his authority. He only had his slingshot and 5 stones. It only took one, glory to God. He didn't let the giant defy the armies of the living God any longer. He didn't have any armor on the outside. He tried it. He tried to put on Saul's armor. It didn't fit him. So he took it off. Hallelujah. He had nothing to fight Goliath except that slingshot. And he had faith, and he knew his authority, and he knew that that giant was going down because it was defying the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. So we take our authority that Jesus gave us. We fight not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of darkness. Amen? And they are defeated because we know the word of God, and we know our authority, and we stand our ground. We do things in faith and love. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Number 4. Nothing to worry about. We have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. How many times have you felt that worry start coming on you? When you start thinking about it and think about it a little bit more, and then those thoughts and those reasonings come in, and why is it done that way? Why is it happening this way? What's happening over here? Do I have the finances to pay that bill? I got a bad report from the doctor. Who's been there with worry? We've all been there with worry. Guess what? We have nothing to worry about. Glory to God. Philippians 4:6. We have nothing to worry about. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. There's our word. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Can we say peace? Peace. Peace. Hallelujah. We need some peace in our life. We need some peace in this world. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will guard your hearts. The peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. As we sang that song tonight, it was a beautiful worship song, and there was definitely a spirit of peace that came in this place. Hallelujah. So be anxious for nothing. Another word that seems to kind of be in our society right now is anxiety. I have anxiety. But you're 10 years old. How can you have anxiety? You don't know anxiety. You have nothing to be anxious about, literally. You have a pillow and a bed and air conditioning and food. And I mean, come on now. You don't have anxiety. We can rebuke that spirit of anxiety. Amen? We do not have that. We have nothing to worry about. Glory to God. There's a scripture also that says, possess your soul. That means take control of your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. Take control of worry. We have to take control of that. We have to use our authority in that area. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. We take everything to God. We take everything to God in prayer. Amen? We bring it to God. And supplication with thanksgiving. If you were to just, when you are having a time of worry, what we need to do, I need to do this also. I need to get in a habit of doing this. Get out your notebook. Just write everything that you're thankful for. Everything that you're thankful for. and just praise the Lord in that. And write down something else. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You write down something. By the time you are done, you are going to be praising. You're going to be lifting your hands. You're going to be rejoicing. You're going to be running around. Amen. You're not even going to be thinking about the thing that you are worrying about. We need to get our focus off what is trying to worry us and what Satan's trying to distract us with, and we need to start focusing on giving God thanks, hallelujah, and bringing it to God in prayer. Amen. Let your requests be made known to God. God's trying to show off again. He is trying to show off. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 6. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Matthew 6:25. Amen. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, this is Jesus talking to us. Jesus talking to us here at Spirit Life Church. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are not more valuable, and are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, by worry, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And really, if anything, worry and anxiety takes things away. It is not good on your body or your mind or your blood pressure or anything else. It's not good. We don't have to worry. Nothing to worry about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to 1 Kings 17. Now, this is the scripture that we just read was kind of easy because, I tell you not to be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink. But give it a day and then really put that into practice. If you were to start fasting on a regular basis, this scripture will come alive. It's funny how our flesh really starts to talk when it doesn't get what it wants to eat and it doesn't get something to drink. So, but we can put that under, amen? Okay, 1 Kings 17:7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" And she was going to get it, and he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." She turns around. This is what she says. "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little of olive oil in a jug. And I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." She's in a bad spot. I mean, if she's saying that to a prophet, to a man of God, and there is a famine in the land, and she's gathering sticks, maybe she's already seen some people die from hunger. I mean, she's probably really saying this not because it's just, I need to make a trip down to the store. She's saying this because she is going to make that and die, because she's probably seen other people die because there's a famine in the land. And I wonder what the prophet's thinking. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's a man of faith, because be thinking, Lord, why did you tell me to come here? You told me to this widow woman? She doesn't have anything to eat. So are you sure, Lord? Did I hear you right? Am I supposed to be asking this woman for water and bread because she doesn't have any? No, he had faith. He knew there was something. God was going to do something great here. As surely, this is verse 12, as surely as the Lord your God lit. Oh, let's go to verse 13. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Amen. Don't be afraid. Glory to God. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. There's something here that is a connection to giving to the Lord, to giving to the man of God. Hallelujah. There's obedience there, just like we practice in our own life when we give our tithe. Glory to God. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So she had a word from the Lord. She could grab onto that word from the Lord. She could hang on to that word. And she believed that word. And what are we doing? Are we hanging on to the word of God that's in our life? Can I put it like this? It's really interesting to see. Sometimes it's hard for people. I've heard this before. It's hard for people. It's hard for me to really believe what's written down in the Bible. Okay, but last night I was over at your house and you saw there was a JCPenney sale on that piece of paper. And you believe that because you went to JCPenney today. And you believed in that ad that was in the newspaper so much. You had so much faith in that ad in the newspaper for that coupon or deal or sale. But you're telling me right here, this is a piece of paper. I mean, it's a little more powerful than a piece of paper, but this is the word of the Lord. And you have more faith in that ad that came through the mail than you do in this word. It's true. Hallelujah. A little wake-up call. Hallelujah. Do we really believe this? When we read these words, are we really believing it? Amen. Hallelujah. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry. Hallelujah. In keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Glory to God. And we can be speaking that same things over to our cabinets and our fridge and our jug of milk or jug of oil or whatever we are needing. We're saying, I'm a tither. I have something to stand on. I'm a giver. I have something to stand on. And this food will not run dry. We will not run dry in this house. Hallelujah. All right, John 14:27. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He has given us peace. Hallelujah. Not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. The world tries to say, oh, you'll have inner peace if you do this, or do this and you'll find peace. It's a lie. You're being deceived. It's not as the world gives. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He has given us peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Glory to God. All right, number 5. Without God, we are nothing. Without God, we are nothing. John 5:19. John 5:19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. There's our word. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. This is Jesus talking. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Hallelujah. So, if Jesus can do nothing by himself, how many knows? We can do nothing by ourselves. We can do nothing by ourselves. Amen. Also, I love this verse because this talks about sometimes people have a hard time with the idea that Jesus wants to heal everybody. And I love this because as my dad and mom have preached on this before, is that Jesus would have been a very disobedient son because Jesus went around healing all. And so when you come across somebody that is okay, you know, God doesn't really want to heal people. You know, that was back then. That's not now. It's if God wills. God does will it. That is his will. He sent a son to show us, and he did. And Jesus would have been a very disobedient son because Jesus went around healing all. So that's telling us, and this scripture, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father. So Father God is showing Jesus to heal somebody. Then that's what we know God's will is for us. Amen. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Glory to God. We just have a couple more here. So we have John 15:4. We are nothing without God. Hallelujah. We are nothing. Without God, we are nothing. John 15:4. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. This is Jesus. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's the word again. Galatians 6:3. Galatians 6:3. For if anyone thinks he is something, does anybody know that some of those special people at work? That for if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We need to get to a place that we are humble, that we are teachable, that we have this realization that, Lord, it's all about you. So this is just flesh and blood. This is, I mean, we're nothing without God. Nothing without God. And if we think so, we deceive ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves if we think so. 1 Timothy 6:7. And here's our word, nothing in here. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. It's a realization. If you think you're something, there will be a day. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Wow. So let's remember these five nothings of the Bible. It's because of them that we can accomplish everything. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are our everything. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have given us, for the authority that you have given us. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you are great, that there's no one higher than you, Lord Jesus, that you work on our behalf, that you are ready to show yourself strong and able and mighty. And thank you, Lord, that we welcome you right now into our lives, into our situation, in the name of Jesus. Because it is you that can cause change. Hallelujah. So Father God, we give you the glory and honor and praise. And as we leave this place, Lord, that we have a realization of all the wonderful things that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It